Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you are with us today for this edition. The phone lines are open, and we'll welcome your call at 844-322-2742. So if you have a Bible question or if you're dealing with some personal issue you'd like to talk about it, well, don't hesitate. Call right now. Somebody with the same issue or question you have is looking for answers as well, and they will get an answer when you do. So call that number, 844-322-2742. Good, as I said, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now, friends, because it's Basic Gospel, and welcome back, Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you, Bob. It's good to be back. Good to be back in studio. I had a couple of days off visiting my mom and sisters in the Atlanta, Georgia area. So go Braves. We got to feel that victory air and breathe that. Yeah. That was exciting. So,
I bet.
But it's always good to be back and good to be back with our listeners. Thank you to Andrew Farley for his great work on Monday and Tuesday's broadcast.
He did it well.
Yes, yes, indeed. Well, let's talk about a really important passage of Scripture today. It's out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9. And this is really significant because it really sets the stage for how to read the Bible, how to understand the Bible, how to know when something really applies to you, or if the passage is talking about something that's going to lead to the salvation that you're going to experience. So this is really significant. Again, it's Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 15, and we're going to go all the way through verse 22. It says this, "Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant." So the he is Jesus Christ. He is the mediator of a new covenant. So he's brought something new into existence. And he says he is the mediator so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. So there's redemption through the death of Jesus Christ. This ushers in a new covenant, and those who are recipients of the new covenant receive a promised eternal inheritance.
Right.
That's good news.
Yes.
That is good news. So he says, for where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For if a will takes effect, only a death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. So this puts a new perspective, a new slant on the purpose of Christ's death. So we read in the gospel story that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. Why did he do that? To redeem us from the law of sin and death, to release us from the power of sin, the punishment of sin, and at some point in the future when we get resurrected bodies, from the very presence of sin. So
right.
That's the redemption that we experience through this death. But it also, the death of Jesus, ushered in the new covenant. So there was an end to the old and a beginning of the new. So that's why the cross is such a significant event in human history. It is a total sea change, so to speak. So our calendars mark time in two eras. There's B.C., before Christ. There's A.D., in the year of our Lord. Now, we see in a lot of science books and archaeology resources and that sort of thing that these two eras are BCE, before the common era, or CE, the common era. So that's what we're in today. But in religious circles, it's BC, before Christ, AD, in the year of our Lord.
As it has always been.
Yes, that's right.
Until
and
recently.
So that division is marked really at the birth of Jesus Christ.
Right.
But the real division, the real time that the change is made as far as God is concerned, is at the cross.
Right.
So that is the ending of the old, that law of sin and death. It is the ushering in of the new covenant, which is a ministry of life. So therefore, he says, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood, for when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you. And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Right. So the blood of Jesus Christ brought about forgiveness of sins. It's not through our confession. It's not through our begging and pleading or promising to do better. It is through the blood of Jesus that we experience the forgiveness of sin. So that is the release from the past. And then we're ushered into a brand new covenant, which is the covenant of life.
Yeah.
So it is the death of Jesus where everything changed. So if we understand that, if we mark the cross as that dividing line, then that is going to help us read the Bible more accurately.
Right.
So many things that Jesus taught, he was teaching under the law, and he was giving the real meaning and spirit of the law, i.e. the Sermon on the Mount. And so when we understand that was before the cross, he was talking about the stringency of the law to prepare the hearts for what was up ahead,
yeah.
This new covenant in which they could experience life. So it really makes the reading of the Bible just come together. So mark this, understand this, that the cross is the place of change.
Yeah.
It's the pivot point. It's where everything turns. It's the hinge, so to speak. So Jesus died for our sins. He brought about redemption, a release from sin and death, and then he ushered in a brand new covenant. That's the covenant that we live in, and it's a covenant in which God remembers our sins no more.
That must be good news, I tell you. Great observations, Bob. Thank you for that. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you at 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada. We'd love to hear from you if you have something you'd like to discuss with us, maybe a personal issue, a Bible question. Well, either one or both, you can give a call right now. 844-322-2742 is the number in the U.S. and Canada. And friends, as we have said so many times, thank you for your support of the message of grace in Jesus Christ that you hear every workday through this ministry that we call Basic Gospel. And with your gift today, we'll say thank you once again by sending you a copy of Bob's excellent and insightful book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It's a study in how the Christian life is supposed to work. Request your copy when you make a gift at basicgospel.net. Or, if you already have a copy, go ahead and request one to share with someone close to you. Both you and they will be blessed through its pages. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. A copy awaits your donation right now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, once again, the phone number, friends, 844-322-2742. And while we're waiting, Bob, a question that came in overnight from Jay. He says, I grew up believing that alcohol is sinful, and as a Christian, I'm not to partake of it. I don't find the Bible saying that it's a sin, but I do see many warnings as to what it could lead to, and which I understand. But is it wrong for me, to want to have a cold one every now and then?
Well, it's certainly not wrong, and certainly as a believer in Christ, you have the freedom to partake. If you weren't set free, then there would be restrictions and that sort of thing, but you've been set free. Now, Paul asked a couple of questions. He says, you know, I'm free and free to do anything and everything. As a matter of fact, he said in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. And that's the filter that we need to look at these particular issues like alcohol. Well, it's lawful. It's okay for me to do that as a believer in Christ Jesus. I've been set free.
Yeah.
But as Paul said in Galatians, let's not use our freedom to indulge the flesh. And let's ask the question, is this helpful? Is this of benefit to me? And I think when we start asking that question, is it helpful? Is it beneficial to me? Is it beneficial to others? Then that's going to help us make decisions as far as these are concerned, that are going to be good for our own consciences. So as far as alcohol is concerned, what we see in the Word of God is this: do not be drunk with wine, in which is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So if you drink too much, you lose control. You are putting yourself under the control of a substance, not a living substance, but a substance.
Right.
And you can make some awfully dumb decisions when you're under the control of alcohol. And those decisions are usually harmful. They're harmful to you. They're harmful to others. That's why drunk driving carries such a strict punishment, because somebody is putting other people at risk, at harm.
And we've seen that just recently.
Absolutely.
Here in this area. Young Dallas Cowboys player driving, they I think probably measured it by satellite, 156 miles per hour on a city street.
Yes.
Rear-ended a lady, and she burned to death. I mean, it was just awful.
Yeah, terrible.
That's alcohol.
Is alcohol doing its harmful work through a person. So we're going to see throughout the Word of God warnings about being drunk with spirits and with all kinds of alcohol. So it says, rather be filled with the Spirit. So somebody that says, hey, I'm just going to go out and drink as much as I want and do whatever I want, they're acting out of a selfish motive. It's only them that's important. They're not considering the lives and the benefits of others, the needs of others. But if you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to be controlled by the love of God, the height and depth and length and breadth of the love of Christ. And when you're controlled by the love of God, you're not just thinking about yourself. You are thinking about others. And when you're thinking about others, that's going to shape the decisions that you make and the actions that you take in day-to-day life. So as far as you wanting a cold one every now and then, nothing wrong with that. But as I said, let's always ask the question, I know I can, I know it's lawful, is it beneficial? And I think when we start asking that question, it's going to shape our decisions. And then when we take it to the next step, God says for us to be filled with the Spirit, to be under the control of the love of God. When we start thinking about others, is this beneficial to others? That's really going to shape our decisions, attitudes, and actions.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for those thoughts, Bob. I think I misspoke. I said that this young player was a Dallas Cowboys player. As I think about it, I'm not sure about that. I need to
Los
go back
Angeles and, or a Las Vegas Raiders player.
That's right. Yes, exactly. Well, I'm glad it wasn't a Dallas Cowboys player for sure. Well, bad that it's anybody's player. So
yes.
It was a terrible situation because this young man, his life is gone pretty much now. Because
yes.
He will be paying and suffering through the consequences of that for the rest of his life. Forfeiting his professional career, forfeiting no telling what else.
Yeah,
just
that's exactly
because
right.
Of excessive drinking.
Yeah, so there was a victim. There was a family of that victim. So there's tremendous loss.
Indeed.
And then there's all the consequences that he's going to suffer and his family and that sort of thing. So it's a decision that was made. It was a harmful decision. It was inevitable that something bad was going to happen when you're driving that fast going through a neighborhood.
Yeah.
But now the ripple effect of all the people that are going to be impacted in a negative way, it's just going to keep moving out further and further and further.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob. Well, we have open lines, friends. We'd like for you to join the conversation at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. Well, Bob, from Lincoln, California, Amanda writes, I'm a mom of three who works outside the home. I have been struggling with the thought that, as a Christian, I should be a stay-at-home mom. What is your opinion?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's probably the desire of your heart to stay at home and be there with your kids. your situation may not allow it. If you're the breadwinner of the family, if you're the sole provider, then you need to go to work. But if you are married, your husband is working, this is something that the two of you need to sit down and discuss. This isn't just your decision to make. This is y'all's decision to make as a family. What's going to be best for the family? What's going to be the most beneficial for the raising of those three kids? So sit down with your husband, talk through it, look at the financial situation. There's a lot of times where moms are going to work and they really desire to stay at home, and they think they're actually, the salary is needed and is a must, and you got to have it to survive as a family. And then when you sit down and look at all the expenses of child care and all of those sort of things, they look at it and say, wait a minute, this is costing us more doing it this way than if I stayed at home. So sometimes you can just look at the numbers, and the numbers say, hey, let's go with the desire of my heart. Let's stay at home. But you sit down with your husband, y'all talk through that, look at the issue from every different way, and then y'all come and make a decision together that's going to be the most beneficial decision for your family.
Absolutely. Well, friends, you know, a rich resource for Christian living is archived on the Basic Gospel YouTube channel. Bob Christopher has posted, I guess, close to 100 videos on that about any subject that you might have a question about, including his latest posting, What Must I Do to Please God? And you can find it now at basicgospel.net/YouTube. And don't forget to tell a friend about this free online video treasure trove. Again, it's at basicgospel.net/YouTube. And, Bob, you have put a lot of work into that, and I know there are so many people that appreciate and benefit from it. So,
well, yeah, it's a great resource. And my son Coleman years ago said, you know, you can go to YouTube and learn just about anything. Why not Jesus?
Yeah.
And we went with that and said, hey, that's a good motivation, yes, to get on a YouTube channel.
Indeed.
So we did that, and we just hope many people will take advantage of it. If you haven't subscribed, go and subscribe now.
Yeah.
And you'll get these resources. So it's a great tool, not only for your own benefit to help you grow in grace and grow in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus, but there are resources there that you can easily share with others. Mm-hmm. So take advantage of it on both fronts.
BasicGospel.net/YouTube, as Bob said, take advantage of it on both fronts. Well, Bob, from New Jersey, a question from Tom. He says, I love your ministry. You guys have been a blessing to me. And his question is very similar to a question that we got live on the air from Randy yesterday, who called from Dallas. But this is not quite as specific, and the listeners will know what I mean by that. Not quite as specific as Randy's was. He says, I've heard many Christians testify that when they were saved, they were delivered from certain sins and never committed them again. I know that I'm saved and Jesus is in my life and nothing can change that, but I still have areas in my life that I struggle with. Although I have experienced victory in these areas, I still ultimately fall to them. Am I the only one that does this, or do others have the same problem? How can I walk in continual victory?
Well, Tom, great question. And no, you're not the only one. This is a struggle that every Christian has, to some degree or another, and it's the very reason that Paul wrote these words, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So oftentimes we have this unrealistic expectation that when we come to Christ and that we're made new, that all of those sinful desires are just going to go away, that we'll never encounter those ever again, that we'll never have bad thoughts. Everything will be pure from this point going forward. Well, that's just not realistic. That's not reality. We're going to have the desires of the flesh. Why? Because we're still housed in a body with members that have sin living in them. Now, sin isn't us, but sin is still there, and those old patterns, those old fleshly patterns, those old worldly patterns are still there. So it's like a hillside that is just dirt. When the rains come down, the water is going to find the path of least resistance, and it's going to move down the hillside through that path of least resistance. Well, it the sun will come out and things will dry, and then several days later, rain may happen again. Well, it's going to go down that same path of least resistance. And every time it rains, we're going to start to see grooves made in that hillside, and rain will flow down there every single time. Well, that's kind of an example of what the flesh is like. I mean, you live for many years as a lost, unregenerate person. And so you follow the ways of this world. You live to gratify the desires of the flesh. So when the temptations of the world hit, or when the desires of the flesh started to intensify inside of you, they moved you down a path. And that path became the imprint within those members of yours. So when you encounter temptation, or when memories of the past come up in your mind, your flesh may be activated. Those old patterns may be activated. Now, what does the Word of God say about that? It says, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You won't move down those old pathways. So the idea is to not focus on the sin, not focus on the desires of the flesh. Be aware that they're there, but in being aware, you walk by the Spirit. Let those be a reminder to you to walk by the Spirit, and when you do, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So we all struggle. We all live in this world that is controlled by the prince of the power of the air, a world that is constantly trying to conform us, a world that is constantly pressuring us into its mold. That's the world. That's what it does. That's why we have these words of encouragement and admonishment. Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world. Rather, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Peter says the same thing, basically the same thing in his first letter. So we have to recognize the world that we live in. We have to recognize the limitations of this body that we live in, that sin is still in its members, that we have the imprint of that old way of life still in our members. We have to recognize that. And then we have to simply say, knowing these things, I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep looking to Him, the author and perfecter of faith. I'm going to keep walking by the Spirit, knowing that as I walk by the Spirit, that I won't be gratifying the desires of the flesh.
Great answer. Tom, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And thanks to all of you who called to be a part of it, or dropped us an email, or however you communicated with us. Always great to hear from you. Well, Bob, thanks. And always the insightful and friendly response that you give to our listeners is an encouragement to me as well. So thank you for that. Friends, keep in mind that we need your support to keep the message on the air and online. Please make your gift at basicgospel.net. And as you do, be sure to request your copy of Bob's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Even if you already have a copy, when you make your gift of support for Basic Gospel, why, go ahead and request another copy and share it with someone that you love and is close to you. Again, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. Now, before tomorrow's broadcast, a Friday broadcast, of course, if you have a question about the Christian life, well, if you need input on any issue you may be facing, give us a call at 844-322-2742, and we'll be sure to address it on the Basic Gospel program. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. At that number, you can record a voicemail, and we'll be sure to talk about it this coming week, either tomorrow or this coming week on Basic Gospel. Well, that's it for today, everybody, and thanks for being with us. I'm Bob Davis for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and we will be back tomorrow for that Friday edition, and we invite you to join us again for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.